Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You may be seated. President Donald Trump, in a speech given at the National Day of Remembrance of the Holocaust, said that, quote, "I will always stand with the Jewish people, and I will always stand with our great friend and partner, the State of Israel." Who does the President of the United States say that we are being a great friend and partner to? The answer is the State of Israel. What Trump really means when he says the State of Israel is the Jews. That is who he means when he says that we are being a great friend and partner to the Jews, the people who were the victims of the great Holocaust, the descendants of the Christ killers and haters of Christianity. But who is a Jew anyway? Where do they come from? Does the Bible say they come from Adam and Eve? Or does it make any difference? Who are all these people in the Bible? They are Canaanites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, Egyptians, Amorites, Moabites, Persians, Assyrians, Syrians, Cushites, Greeks, Romans, Ishmaelites, Israelites, Edomites, Phoenicians, Turks, Hamites, Mizraimites, Ethiopians, House of Israel, House of Judah. And there are many other people who are not talked about very much in the Bible, like the Negroes, Chinese, Japanese, Tibetans, Ashkenazim, Aztec, Zulus, etc. Who are these people today? Do they still have descendants who are alive? Do you have any of their blood flowing in yours? Most of the world, including many fake or deceived Christians, believes that all races of people come from the same beginning: Adam and Eve, or Noah and Lameth, his wife. When asked what race was Adam or Noah, the most common answer by people who advocate that Adam and Noah were not white people was that they were brownish. They believe that all races came from these two brown representatives of all the races. In sermon number one, in my first sermon on this topic, I talked about the origins of many of the false Christian rituals and holidays and where they originated. Most people who call themselves Christian celebrate many similar events that began from the Nimrod, Semiramis, Tammuz, double incest story. It provides for today's Christian almost all the rituals for both the birth and death of their God. Christmas trees, Christmas mistletoe, Christmas exchange gifts, Christmas lights, Easter ham dinners, Easter bunny eggs, Easter decorated hard-boiled eggs, Easter egg hunts, etc., are all from the story of the son and mother-wife relationship of Nimrod and Semiramis, and are an abomination to God. Sermon number two, in my last sermon, I traced who I thought the beasts of the field were in Scripture. They were pre-Adamites, that is, they were here before Adam was placed on the earth. God gave Adam dominion over the beast of the field. Eve was created from part of Adam's body. Adam's body was created from the dust of the earth. They both had no earthly parents. They both were created mature. They were never in the womb. They were never an infant. They were never a little child. They were never an adolescent. They were never a teenager. They were never a young adult. They were created mature. And after their sins, they lived almost 1,000 years. How much could a person learn in 1,000 years? How many children could a person have if he lived almost one millennium? How many people could a person have in his own family reunion if he lived more than 900 years? Which was about 1/6 of the time since Adam was born. Truth is stranger than fiction. We practically are told nothing about this time in the life of Adam and his descendants, up to the time of the flood of Noah. But there were three generations that no doubt communicated with each other a lot until the flood. Adam lived 930 years. Methuselah, born 687 years after Adam was placed in the garden, died 1,656. He lived for 969 years. Noah, born in 1,056, died 2,006. He lived 950 years. Noah was born 600 years before Methuselah died. So he could have had many conversations with him. According to the book of Jasher, Noah married Naamah, the daughter of Enoch. Enoch was Methuselah's father. And Noah's three sons all married daughters of Elicam, one of the sons of Methuselah. It's found in chapter 5. So Noah married the daughter of Methuselah's father, Methuselah's sister. And his sons married daughters of Methuselah's son, Methuselah's granddaughters. I think it's safe to say that Noah and the rest of the family saw Methuselah a great deal during his life. How many people were alive when the flood occurred? I have seen estimates online of up to 10 trillion people. But the Bible doesn't tell us. It is truly speculation. But there is one question that can be answered in the scriptures. Who were the enemies of God's people during the pre-flood era? They were the offspring of the serpent, Cain and his descendants. They became known as Cainites or Kenites and were the enemy of God's people. And Genesis 3:15 says that God placed hatred between these two seed lines. And I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman Eve, and between thy seed and the woman's seed. If it shall bruise the serpent's head, and now the serpent's seed shall bruise his, the woman's seed's heel. Is this hatred still evident between these two seed lines? Do these two seed lines still exist? Yes, the enmity between these two have been boiling for almost 6,000 years, and it is now about to explode. Who are the people that are experiencing this enmity today? Who is the war between? This is one of the mysteries that the Bible explains to us. Now, sermon number 3, which is today's sermon. How is the war being fought in the last 80 years? Western civilization at the present day is passing through a crisis which is essentially different from anything that has been previously experienced. Other societies in the past have changed their social institutions or their religious beliefs under the influence of external forces or the slow development of eternal growth. But none has ever consciously faced the prospect of a fundamental alteration of the beliefs and institutions on which the whole fabric of social life rests, like our current society. Civilization is being uprooted from its foundations in nature and tradition and is being recognized in a new organization which is artificial and mechanical as a modern factory. The communist form of government has been promoted by Jews who were run out of Germany when Hitler came to power. Nazis and communists hated each other. An avowed Marxist or communist, Karl Grunberg, was the director of the Communist Frankfurt School from 1923 to 1929. But in 1930, Max Homar assumed control and led the school in much research. When Hitler was voted into power in 1933, the Jews declared war against Germany, and the school was closed, and many of its members, by various routes, fled to the United States and migrated to major United States universities. Columbia, Princeton, Brandeis, and California at Berkeley. To further the advance of their quiet culture revelation, by keeping their plans secret from the Christian world, the communistic Frankfurt School recommended, among other things, number one, the creation of racism offenses mainly against the white population. Number two, continual change to create confusion. Number three, the teaching of tolerance of uninhibited sex, homosexuality, and transgendered relationships to children, making these perversions seem natural. Number four, the undermining of schools and teachers' authority. I remember when at the beginning of one school year, paddling was no longer allowed. In its place was a system of in-school or after-school suspensions. What a disaster. It is very rare for a child to go through life without a SWAT to correct them at least one time. Now it is forbidden in the schools. Number five, huge immigration to destroy the identity of what America used to be. Flood the nation with a population from the third world, and the white race's identity will be remembered no longer. Take down the monuments representing the defeated South. Number six, the promotion of excessive drinking. Broken homes, homicides, automobile accidents, uninhibited fornication, domestic abuses are some of the results of drunkenness. Number seven, emptying of mainline churches. Change the composition of the congregations of the churches from all white to an amalgamation of mixed and mongrel races. This would be accomplished by changing the doctrines of mainline churches to the Freemasonic Jewish Talmud doctrine that every person on the earth is descended from Adam and Eve. Number eight, an unreliable legal system with bias against victims of crime. Nine, dependency on the state or state benefits. 10, control and dumbing down of media. And 11, encouraging the breakdown of the family. One of the main ideas of the Frankfurt School was to exploit Freud's idea of pansexualism, which was the search for pleasure, the exploitation of the differences between the sexes, the overthrowing of traditional relationships between men and women. To further these aims, they would attack the authority of the father. Does a family need a father anyway? Let lesbian lovers adopt children. Who has ever heard of courtship? The average father today has practically no say in who his daughter should marry. Deny the specific roles of father and mother. More women are now going to college than men. Women are expected to have a career in the business, trucking, educational, medical, military, or other fields that used to be entirely for men. Soon, women will be put in the military draft. Wrest away from families their rights as primary educators of their children. Homeschool will eventually be eliminated or changed to the public school's propaganda. Abolish differences in the education of boys and girls. It used to be true the girls took home economics class and the boys took woodshop. But now anyone can take these classes. It used to be true the boys and girls had different gym classes, but this has changed too. They both are now in the same gym class. Abolish all forms of male dominance. Hence the presence of women in the armed forces and their availability to fight in the front lines. Declare women to be an oppressed class and men as oppressors. It is seldom, if ever, mentioned that this is in opposition to what the Bible teaches. Why have there been no presidents of the United States who are women? Why have there been no vice presidents of the United States who are women? Why, until after the feminist movement that was successful about 100 years ago, were there practically no women senators, representatives, mayors, governors in the United States? And why were women teachers mandated by contract to quit their job as soon as they got married? Frankfurt School psychological theories. The communist Frankfurt School believed there were two types of revolution: A, political, and B, cultural. Cultural revolution demolishes from within. They saw it as a long-term project and kept their sights clearly focused on the family, education, media, sex, and popular culture. The psychological theories about human nature and the counseling based on these theories have vastly contributed to the ever-expanding fulfillment of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I'll read these five verses to you. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of what? Lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The psychological theories and therapies of the Jewish Communist Frankfurt School have fueled inordinate self-love and thereby served as the seedbed of the 20th century sexual revolution that has ripped apart families, abolished sexual morality, and led to a redefinition of marriage. Humanistic psychology paved the way for a new concept of the self that needed to be freed from the restraints of repressive social institutions and moral codes so that people would be free to develop their inborn godliness and build a society without hypocrisy, prejudice, or exploitation. Marriages fail now at a rate of at least one out of two. Of course, the church has viewed as a repressive social institution with moral codes rather than as Christ's body of believers who are truly free in Him. Erroneous external views of Christianity have so overtaken our society that the church is the enemy to personal fulfillment and in freedom, when in fact this country has become more and more enslaved to sin with its many forms of so-called addiction. Even before the development of humanistic psychology, the tares were preparing a poisonous dinner for God's sheep. Sigmund Freud, 1856 to 1939, considered the father of the psychotherapy movement, believed that morality, and particularly sexual morality, was much to be blamed for psychological disorders. He felt that fornication with any person for practically any reason would be a great preventive medicine and psychologically beneficial. In fact, he believed in a strong, direct relationship between a person's sex life and mental, emotional disorders. He said that, quote, factors arising in sexual life represent the nearest and practically the most monumentous causes of every single case of nervous illness, unquote. Freud's only objections to this unlimited fornication was the possibilities of venereal disease and pregnancy. Little did Freud anticipate our present permissive society, which has achieved his great therapeutic ideal of fornication. Little did he realize that the sexual revolution that followed his conjectures would not only cause more mental emotional behavior disorders, but rip right into the fabric of society. Abraham Maslow, 1908 to 1970, followed many of Freud's ideas regarding sexual freedom and belief in a powerful subconsciousness that motivates behavior. Maslow, considered by many to be one of the founders of humanistic psychology, contended that people are innately good and possess innate instincts within them to enable them to find values within the self rather than needing a source outside of self. Maslow thus fostered cultural relativism, which was originally conceived by Franz Boas, 1858 to 1942, a highly influential anthropologist at Columbia University, where anthropology was studied from a Darwinian perspective. Ruth Benedict, 1887 to 1948, was a student under Boas, and soon became a professor at Columbia University and popularized many of his teachings on cultural relativism. Benedict called for redefining morality in a single generation. And while that seemed a remote possibility, her friend and sometimes student Abraham Maslow would lay the groundwork for a new theory of personality that would do just that. Maslow considered Benedict as one of the few people who are self-actualized, even though she saw herself as a deviant. Benedict was bisexual, and she blamed much of her homosexual behavior on the restraints of society on homosexuals and others who do not conform to the tradition norms. Benedict was a lesbian, Jewish, Boasian cultural anthropologist who wrote several works proclaiming races are biologically equal. Ashley Montague, a Jewish Boasian anthropologist, later adopted race denialism. There are no races but one. His real name was Israel Ingrenberg, but he changed his name to hide his Jewish heritage. These Jewish intellectual movements decried the passivity, escapism, and conformity of American culture. White advocates are horrified that the clear majority of white people passively accept media messages filled with distorted images of whites and their history. They are appalled that so many whites are far more interested in escape entertainment, ranging from sporting events to sci-fi thrillers, than they care about the future of their own people. And they are dismayed by the conformity of the great mass of whites who are terrified of being called a racist or in any way violating the current taboos of political correctness. They deplore the pathetic conformists striving to uphold the rules of a society deeply hostile to their own long-term interest. Rather than see a culture controlled by the late capitalist media, white advocates see the culture of the West is controlled by a hostile media that advocates multiculturalism, the displacement of whites, and the culture of Western suicide. And many of today's true Christians believe that a very large influence on this culture stems not only from the influence of Frankfurt School and the New York intellectuals, but also from Jewish ownership and production of the media. Maslow's dream for a utopia inhabited with self-actualized persons of high esteem was realized in the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco, as the flower children of the 60s took his theories to heart and indulged in free love and self-gratification. Maslow did not teach self-indulgence, but that can be the result of any system which emphasizes the self, presupposes the goodness of the human, and claims that people will develop their highest potential and so-called needs are met. Each generation since the beginning of the sexual revolution has moved further away from chastity and marital fidelity and towards fornication with anyone with no ties to marriage or commitment. What used to be considered unnatural is now looked upon as natural. For many, traditional sexual values and restraints are a thing of the past. And for those who still believe in them, there is a stretching of the meaning of chastity and fidelity and a widening of sexual activities. Nevertheless, in the midst of ever-increasing sexual freedom and influence, many are dissatisfied. They never find what they are looking for. There are four schools of psychology. Psychoanalysis, the first one, originated with Sigmund Freud, explains human behavior by looking at the subconscious mind. Freud suggested that the instinct to pursue pleasure, which he described as sexual in nature, lies at the root of human development. Second school is behaviorism. In the 1950s, B.F. Skinner carried out experiments with animals such as rats and pigeons, demonstrating that they repeated certain behaviors if they associated them with rewards in the form of food. Behaviorists believe that observing behavior rather than attempting to analyze the inner workings of the mind itself provides the key to psychology. This makes psychology open to experimental methods with results that can be replicated in the same way as any scientific experiment. Third school is humanism. Humanistic psychologists teach that to understand psychology, we must look at individuals and their motivations. Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs exemplifies this approach. A system of needs such as food, love, self-esteem determines a person's behavior to various extents. Meeting this needs leads to a sense of self-satisfaction and solves psychological problems. Fourth school, cognitivism. Cognitive psychology follows behaviorism by understanding the mind through scientific experimentation. But it differs from it by accepting that psychologists can study and understand the internal workings of the mind and mental processes. It rejects psychoanalysis. As it regards psychoanalytic theories about the subconscious mind as subjective and not open to scientific analysis. Do you catch the fact that one school of psychology rejects one or more of the other schools? Mention the word psychology today, and few persons would fail to recall Sigmund Freud. Freud believed in studying covert behavior, but unlike his predecessors, Freud was not content with examining only conscious thought. He dived headfirst into the unconscious. Freud compared the human psyche to an iceberg. Only a small portion is visible to others, with most of it lying below the surface. Freud also believed that many of the factors that influence our thoughts and actions lie outside of conscious awareness and operate entirely in our unconsciousness. Psychology, therefore, needed to study these unconscious drives, motives, and impulses to arrive at a more complete understanding of the individual. Not all modern psychologists ascribe to Freud psychoanalytical theory, but none can deny the significant impact that this man had on psychology. He opened whole new frontiers in psychology and proposed one of the most comprehensive theories of personality ever written, complete with explanations of how the unconscious mind works and how personality develops in the early years of life. Many later theorists were influenced directly or indirectly by Freud as they built on, modified, or reacted to his sometimes controversial views. Freud's work led to the development of the first form of psychotherapy, one which has been modified and used by countless therapists throughout the history of psychology. Even all this, to use Freud's analogy, is just the very tip of the iceberg as far as his contributions are concerned. No other psychological school of thought has received as much attention, admiration, and criticism as Freud's psychoanalytical theory. One of the biggest criticisms is that his theory fails short of being scientific, and many of his concepts are not testable. Freud also failed to recognize how experiences after childhood contribute to personality development and focus mainly on psychological disorders rather than more positive adaptive behaviors. What does a Jew believe? They hate Jesus Christ. They hate all his followers. They hate his church and its doctrine. Why would a Christian want to learn from these haters of themselves? Why is psychology thought to be something that a Christian school would have in its curriculum? Betty Friedan developed almost a full chapter of The Feminine Mistake to Abraham Maslow's Theory of Self-Actualization. Here is Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Anybody ever have this in school? I'm ashamed to say I taught this. I was a major in psychology. Switched to a major in psychology and social studies. And the only job open was mathematics. So I went back to school and took classes in mathematics. I taught it was junk. I never knew about this till later. When I taught it, the basic one, about 95% of the people meet this, and you go up. About 5% are up here self-actualized. Psychological, it's breathing. Physiological, yes, thank you. It's breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, homeostasis. And then safety, you've got security of body, of employment, of resources, of morality, the family, of health, property. Then love and belonging. Esteem, then you're self-actualized when you're morality, creative, spontaneity, problem-solving, lack of prejudice, acceptance of facts. Of course, the person he's got self-actualized was a lesbian. Self-actualization, a person's motivation to reach his or her full potential. As shown in Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs, a person's basic needs must be met before self-actualization can be achieved. So you got to meet the physiological, safety, love, belonging, esteem before you're self-actualized. And it talks about Maslow up here, was a psychologist who studied positive human qualities and the lives of exemplary people. In 1954, Maslow created this pyramid, Hierarchy of Human Needs, and expressed his theories in his book, Motivation and Personality. 1954, he created this. Maslow was a social psychologist who, in his early years, did research on female dominance and sexuality. Now, get this next part. This next part just blew my mind apart. Maslow was a friend of Herbert Marcuse at Brandeis University. Now, get that university. And he met Erich Fromm in 1936. He was strongly impressed by Fromm's Frankfurt School's communistic ideology. That was not in the book that I taught. He wrote an article called The Authoritarian Character Structure, published in 1944, that reflected the personality theory of critical theory. Maslow was also impressed with the work of Wilhelm Reich, who was another Frankfurt School originator of personality theory. The significance of historical roots of political correctness cannot be fully appreciated unless Betty Friedan's Revolution in Sex Roles is viewed for what it really was, a manifestation of the social revolution process begun by Karl Marx. Friedan's reliance on Abraham Maslow's reflection of Frankfurt School ideology is simply one indicator. Other indicators include the correspondence of Friedan's Revolution in Sex Roles with George Lucas's annihilation of old values and the creation of new ones, and with Herbert Marcuse's transvaluation of values. But the idea of transforming a patriarchy into a monarchy, which is what a sex role inversion is designed to do, can be connected directly to Friedrich Engels' book, The Origin of the Family, Private Property, and the State. It was first published in 1884. This book popularized the now-accepted feminist belief that deep-rooted discrimination against the oppressed female sex was a function of patriarchy. The belief that matriarchy was the solution to patriarchy follows from Marx's comments in the German Ideology, published in 1845. In this work, Marx advanced the idea that wives and children were the first property of the patriarchal male. The Frankfurt School's matriarchal theory originated from these sources. When addressing the public, advocates of political correctness or culture Marxism, to give it its true name, presents their beliefs attractively. It's all just a matter of being sensitive to other people, they say. They use words such as tolerance and diversity, asking, why can't we all just get along? Political correctness is Marxism, and all that applies, loss of freedom of expression, thought control, inversion of traditional social order, and ultimately a totalitarian state. If anything, the culture of Marxism created by the Frankfurt School is more horrifying than the old economic Marxism that ruined Russia. At least the economic Marxists did not exalt sexual perversion and attempt to create a matriarchy as the Frankfurt School and its descendants have done. All this anti-Christian mumble-jumbo can be erased from the Christian's mind by just remembering one of the many, many verses that teach Christians to avoid doing what all this new psychology tells us to do. Luke chapter 11, verse 31 through 32. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. By conclusion, let's analyze what we read so far. Sigmund Freud, Abraham Maslow, Franz Boas, Ruth Benedict, Israel Ehrenberg, Betty Friedan, and others like Margaret Mead, George Lucas, Herbert Marcuse, Alfred Kinsey were leaders in the psychological movement that was promoted by the Frankfurt School located in America. Unknown to most Christians, psychology has been both supported by the Frankfurt School, and several members of this pro-communist school were leaders in the teaching of this new pseudo-science. They were all connected to the communist school in America, the Frankfurt School, that set up bases at Columbia, Brandeis, Princeton, and Berkeley universities. What would people study if they had a personal behavior problem before there was any psychology? The solution was found in the Bible, which they can learn about in their local church or read it themselves. The churches have failed in almost every case of helping their members because they use psychology and not the Bible to address the real problem, their sin. Psychology is the study of how people are motivated to act without God's influence. The same is true with politics. How to govern without God's influence. Separation of church and state. In fact, in almost all areas, there is now no God. But what is missing is they have ignored the God of the Bible. There is a battle between what many different psychologists they can say. Most people are not aware that psychologists have different views, and they operate in very different manners. Most psychologists must reject one or more of the schools of psychology. Sigmund Freud, Abraham Maslow, and Franz Boas, and many others were all brought up in Jewish families. Freud was the son of a rabbi. They had in their arteries and veins remnants of blood from the line of Canaanite, Esau, and Ashkenazi. Boas and Maslow were both professors at Columbia University, while Maslow was also a professor at Brandeis University and other universities. Boas died the year I was born, 1942. What came to Brandeis, Princeton, Columbia, and Berkeley universities from Germany as Nazis took over and isolated the Jewish people in their country? The Jews fled that country and many came to America. Remember, Germany had reawakened to what Martin Luther had discovered. The Jews had enmity in their heart against God's people. Martin Luther, near the end of his life, wrote the book on the Jews and their lies. The book written by Luther took Jewish hatred to a new level when he proposed to set fire to their synagogues and schools, to take away their homes, forbidding them to pray or teach, or even to utter God's name. Luther wanted to, quote, be rid of them, unquote, and requested that the government and ministers deal with the problem. He requested pastors and preachers to follow his example of issuing warnings against the Jews. He goes so far as to claim, quote, we are at fault in not slaying them, unquote, for avenging the death of Jesus the Christ. Hitler's Nazi government in the 30s and 40s fit Luther's desires to a T. So if you hate Hitler, you must hate Luther about 10 times as much, too. Few people today realize that Luther wrote a book that had so much hatred toward the murderers of Jesus the Christ. Free thinkers should become aware of the anti-Jewish influence that Luther has brought on the world. His vehement attack on Jews and his powerful influence on the German faithful has brought a new hypothesis to mind. that the Jewish Holocaust, and indeed the eliminationist form of the anti-Jewishism in Nazi Germany, may not have occurred without the influence from Luther's book on the Jews and their lives. It was the communistic Frankfurt School that left Germany and came to America to do its work. Its work was to change first Germany, which it had failed to do, and then America to become a communist state. It has now succeeded in both nations. President Trump is off on an 8-day foreign journey to Saudi Arabia, Israel, the Vatican, Italy, and Sicily with his Jewish son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his daughter, Ivanka. They both received special permission from their Orthodox rabbi to travel on the Sabbath on this trip. Jared has been under FBI surveillance regarding setting up a secret Russian communication regarding Syria in the transition period of the new president. Jared's father, Charles Kushner, was sent to prison for tax fraud, witness tampering, and illegal campaign donations. He is a part of the Israel Mafia gang. They work together at 666 Fifth Avenue, a building Jared bought in 2007 for $1.8 billion. At the time, it was the most anyone had paid for a building in New York City. His father served time in Alabama, where he was in jail for several years, sent by Chris Christie. While in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu said that he had known both President Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, for a long time. He even knew Jared when he was very young. What? What a disaster. Except it is our God who knows all. President Trump became the first sitting president to visit the Western Wall and make his prayers. First, it isn't the Western Wall of the temple. All the stones of the temple were torn down. His remaining wall was built by the Romans as part of their fort. And secondly, President Trump wasn't praying to the God of the Bible, but the feminine God of the Israelites. While praying, the Jews thrust at their female God to produce the offspring of the masculine God, El Sof. What a racket. And our chief politicians are participating in this very lewd, satanic ritual. Galatians chapter 3:16 and Galatians 3:29 is very much misinterpreted. I'm going to read Galatians 3:16. And to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ, well, that's wrong, which is anointed. Then Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ, no, if you be an anointed people, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you believe what the translators wanted to deceive you with, Christ instead of anointing, then you are believing what the Jewish Roman Catholics want you to believe. Historically, Rome brought in the teaching that she was the one true church, and that anyone of any race could be converted into the church by accepting of that church's dogmas, sacraments, and traditions. I'll read that again. Historically, Rome brought in the teaching that she was the one true church, and that anyone of any race could be converted into the church by acceptance of that church's dogmas, sacraments, and traditions. The Roman Church taught that she was Israel. Anyone who was not of that holy apostate Roman Church was stated to be a Gentile. The present view held by most of the Protestant churches has its origin with the Roman mother of harlots and is not in Scripture. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.